Okay, good morning, you fighting few. We can charge hell with a bucket of water. We're just charging it. We're going to go in there. We're standing on the perimeter, throwing in the water. Throwing the water on. Golly, I can tell. Man, you can tell them people that grew up fighting, man, we charged hell with a bucket of water and douse Satan with water. All right. Well, Steve made it so we can get going now. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come and worship you this morning. Take time out of our day, out of our week, our life, just to assemble ourselves with other believers, to worship you, orient ourselves to who and what you are and who and what we are in your plan, Father. And we just pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, the power of your Spirit, the name of your Son. Father, we pray these things. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, Joel's going to be here Wednesday, so let's kind of get into the missionary motif. Brian, what are we going to sing first? Good, Wes. I didn't know we didn't know that one. Yeah, wow. That's a good one, though. We'll have to incorporate it. Okay, let's see. Wednesday night, Joe is going to be here. And for the sake of here and on the internet, message from Joe, life here in Ghana, Africa. It's in the northwest section of Africa, one country over from Liberia. Life here in Ghana is one long, daily, hourly record of answered prayer for physical health, for mental overstrain, for guidance given marvelously, for enmity to the gospel, subdued, for food provided at the exact hour needed, for everything else. That's the difference of being an African here. Food provided exact hour needed here, we just have it all the time. For everything else that goes to make of my life and service here in Ghana. God is the one truly working as I stand in amazement and simply watch. We have begun the Bible Institute. There is a total of 25 students who attend class every morning or evening. He teaches the same thing in the morning, 2 hours in the morning, and then 2 hours at night. They are all eager to learn God's Word. There is such a need and a hunger for truth here in Accra. Accra is the capital of Ghana. It's on the coast. Americans have been blessed to be saturated with many Bible materials and much teaching. This is not true in Ghana. The students listen with amazement as I explain to them how there are brothers and sisters in Christ who pray for them, support them, just so they can learn more about Him. Their lives are being changed more and more every day, and it is all by God's doing. I eagerly await the day I can come back and share with you the amazement, the amazing things that I have witnessed in the lives of these people so dearly loved by God, which will be Wednesday night. Until that day, I ask that you rejoice with me in light of God's answer to our prayers. Disciples are being made for Jesus Christ. Last of all, I ask that you all remember that every uttered word in prayer accomplishes many amazing things in the lives of these students. So join with me in ruthlessly trusting in our Lord to accomplish His commission through our lives. Thank you for your prayers and support. So Joe will be here Wednesday evening, and I hope that all of you will make it an effort to come here Wednesday night, and we'll have some refreshments, and you can just talk to him and just get to know what he's doing. He's a very young man to be doing the mission work that he's doing. And so, very impressed with Joe. He took the Bible Institute course in Tucson under John Hens, and then just went, started teaching it. So, it's really amazing how much has been accomplished by Joe in this very brief period of time. And he's home for a very, very good friend of his. Got married this weekend in Tucson. And he's going to visit a few more churches, come down our way, and then to Tulsa, and then go back to Ghana. So please try to be here Wednesday night to hear him, welcome him, and talk with him. Now let's talk about prayer. Brian, have you heard anything yet?
I did, and all the tests came back great, and they did some changes on the vitamins and everything. I'm feeling great.
Fantastic. Wow. Well, we'll just keep being in prayer and get you through this.
Now you just pray for my wife. Now she's sick.
She's sick?
Oh,
man. What's wrong?
I don't know. She's got some, bumps come up everywhere. She's got
bumps?
Yeah, little lesions and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
She has an overactive immune system.
Overactive immune system.
I could use one of those.
You could use one of those. All right. Wow. Well, okay. We'll be in prayer. All right, good for Larry. Wow. How are the children?
Good.
All right, good. All right. Well, we're excited about your report. That's very good. Very good. And how are you doing? You got your shoe off. Is your foot hurt? No, just had it off. Okay. I didn't need to point that out.
No,
I'm sorry. So how are you doing?
Well, I feel great.
Good.
You know.
All right. Anything happening with the cancer?
No, not at the moment. I got a couple of things going, but...
Okay. Well, keep us posted.
Yeah, I will.
We'll stay in prayer.
Oh, good.
We'll stay in prayer and you keep us posted.
All right.
All right. Is your daughter and son-in-law okay?
They're traveling.
They're traveling.
They're down by Dallas somewhere.
Okay. So we need to pray as they travel. Wow, yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. It's so easy how quickly a wreck can change so many things. So we'll be in prayer. Any other prayer requests that I'm not? Yes.
In line with pointing things out, last Wednesday night you made an announcement that you had some health issues. And
yeah.
I'm just wanting to know if you'd be open to a prayer request. If so, what would you like for us to pray?
Yes, I am open to prayer requests. I believe in the power of prayer. It's difficult for me to do that. I didn't want to do it. My wife kept beating me and telling me you need to tell the people. So just pray that God will touch my heart.
Okay.
And keep it healthy. I'm trying to be good. Taking what the doc says and watching this, watching that. So just pray that. Okay, thank you. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Charlotte. Challenges with her mother from the standpoint of health, Alzheimer's, very struggling with that whole situation.
Oh, wow, okay.
And her job situation as well.
So all right.
She's got a lot of her mind.
Let's be in prayer for Charlotte and her mother and all that's going on. Alzheimer's is just it's an interesting phenomenon that we're going through in our time. So... as people live longer, more things happen. And so I don't know how it's going to be during the millennium when they live to be 1,000. Good grief. Man. But we'll be in prayer for Charlotte. I told John Hintz after we got back from going to the Grand Canyon for our honeymoon, and he and Judy went with us, and I said, boy, that was just so fantastic. Just, man, I'll never forget that. And he says, well, if we do, we can redo it again. if we lose it, we can go back and it'll be the first time again. So, but it's Alzheimer's and its truth is no laughing matter. So, especially those who work with those dealing with it. Okay? Just continue to be in prayer for each other and as we go through. Now, Joe's going to be here Wednesday night, and I want to take up a special offering, but as is pointed out, I didn't announce it last Sunday, and somebody said, well, I didn't even bring my checkbook, and so I understand that. Maybe we'll take up an offering Wednesday night, give you a notice that way. But I didn't announce it last Sunday morning, I announced it Wednesday night, which... big deal 4 days before Sunday. So we'll take up an offering Wednesday night, which will probably be befitting. You'll get to hear him, and I think that will stimulate offering because it's you'll just see how much he's doing and what needs to be done there. So we'll take that offering up Wednesday night with Joe. So don't forget your checkbooks Wednesday night. And if Jim were here, I'd say, we need to get us a credit card thing, man. Just zip that thing through there. But right now, we just take checks and cash. All right. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we're an humble assembly, but you've seen fit to use us. You've seen fit, Heavenly Father, to use our teaching and the internet. Good response over the country. Seen fit to use us, Heavenly Father, in publications, missionary outreach, just right here in our own home family. Father, we're most thankful. We pray now, Father, that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will continue to use them as you continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, one more quick announcement that I neglected to talk about. Friday night, we had the young people over, and it was super. We had, 20 of the young ones? Yeah, 20 little ones, and we just had a great time. And then we had some ice cream break, and that was good. It was amazing. There wasn't ice cream all over the furniture. There wasn't ice cream all over the house. I don't know where they're learning to eat these days, but then, so, and then, but then we had the older ones in, and we just had a great time just talking about different issues, and so it went really, really well, and something I want to do every month. However, we've got a big deal here on November, Saturday, November the 7th. Terry, why don't you tell us about it? Well, certainly. Yeah. Well, let's see. It's November the 8th. 7th and 8th. Here in church. So the 7th, they'll come here. And all kids, friends, 4 through 12. All right, it's 4 through 12. All right? And they'll meet here, do things here, and be lunch, some food served. Okay, and that'll last till wins Saturday. 9 to 2. Right? Okay, and then Sunday, they will do a presentation of what they did Saturday here. Cool. In here. Very good. All right. Okay. All right. So, okay. We did this last year. Last year was the first one. Okay, this is the second year of this. Okay. When will that be? Oh, okay. All right, okay. So while it's for the fourth, the older ones will be there to teach and instruct. Okay, good. Very good. Okay. Yes. Yes. Oh, wow. Well, okay, my goodness. Doing pretty good? Good. Good. That's powerful. Yeah. So I hope something like that happens again. So just invite your friends and got a neighbor's kid that's always in the way. Bring them here. We'll take care of them Saturday. And then I'll be talking to you about what we're going to do in October at my house. After I get with Larry and Terry and see what we can work out for October. And we watched part of a presentation on the universe, and it was awesome. And so, in fact, I would like maybe just to have a night for all of us to enjoy that. It is one powerful presentation dealing with the universe and God's creation of it. So... okay, so we got that lined up, and if you will call and remind me about the special offering, because up here, once I'm through, I will forget it. Okay, all right. So I got my mind just on one thing right now, so, okay. All right, anything else we needed to talk about? Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of total depravity. Total depravity. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for the Bible. It is our text. We would not know about you if it were not for this Bible. We would not know about Jesus Christ if it were not for this Bible. We would not know about Satan and truth if it was not for this Bible. We're so dependent upon it for everything in our understanding. We're dependent upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth that is presented in this text. And now, Father, we deal with something so personal to each and every one of us, and that is who we are, what we are, who and what you are. Tell us that we're created in your image, made in your likeness. What does that mean? You're God. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to what you'd have us to see, Father. In your Son's precious name, amen. Okay, we're looking. What I started out just to be a simple study on total depravity, but it's just broadened into understanding so much. Understanding the gospel. Understanding why faith. Why it's not by works. And we're looking at different aspects of total depravity. And we moved into Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27. Let's read it. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, sky, and over the cattle and over all the earth, and to every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Okay, we're dealing with the first part of this. What does it mean, the plural? Let us. Then we have the two prepositions, in our image, according to our likeness. Then we have the two words, image and likeness. We have two words, one here, made, and then in the next verse, created. Look at verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All right, we're going to get back to just studying it. Let me just talk with you. What does it mean to be created in the image of God and in his likeness? Is there a difference between image and likeness? And there is. Made in and like, according to the likeness of God. So what I want you to do is, let's personify God for a moment and babble so that we can get a feel of what's going on. And then from this we got to go to, if we're, since we're created in the image and likeness of God, how can we be under total depravity? So we got to deal with that issue. But before we deal with total depravity, we got to understand what is totally depraved and how we, who and what we are. But what I want you to do is think this way. What does it mean to be created in the image and likeness of God? God is omnipresent. He is everywhere in this universe and as far out as universes go. He's so vast. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-loving. He's all these things. How can we be created in the image and likeness of God? That seems overwhelming. Doesn't seem possible, really. Okay. Let's just see what's happening here. So we can talk our way through this and then study it. Here's God. Now the plural, let us make man, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Elohim. Elohim, the word for God here, and God said, is Elohim. That him, H-I-M at the end of Elo, is plural. So it's Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Let us make man. So let's just personify for the sake of discussion here. We're going to make this creature. What are we going to make him like? What's going to be our design here? how are we going to structure this being? Now, this was all done billions of years ago instantaneously, but let's just talk. We don't want to do it like the animals. We've got those running around. And we don't do it like angels. What are we going to use as a pattern for this creature that we're going to make, that we're going to have relationship with, we're going to make covenants with, we're going to love and be loved by this creature? What are we going to use as a pattern? Well, you know, if we want to have fellowship with them, then he's going to have to be something like us so that we can interact. Can't make him unlike us. Can't interact. It's kind of just to, I'm just talking with you, trying to help us understand image and likeness. Gosh, I love you, and I am too, but not to the point that many are. You dog lovers. Man, you just love your dog. And you really wish, I know there are people who really wish, and I know people who think, their dog was human. I just wish you were human. So you could actually sit at the table and eat properly, not slobber. And talk with me, and answer me. But you can't. They're a dog, I'm sorry. All you devout dogs, they're dogs. They're cats. They're birds. They're snakes. They're horses. They're not human. They'll listen to you. They'll obey you. They'll whip their tails, shake their tails, and they won't listen, and they'll do this. But they're not human. You can't interact with them. God wanted to create a creature that he could interact with. So if you want to create a creature you can interact with, you've got to create one like you. That makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that make sense? If you're going to create a creature, a thing, that you can interact with, then it's going to have to come after your model. Some way. It's going to have to. Okay. So, what does it mean then, being created to the image of God? Okay, here all we do is we take a look at the being of God. Not his attributes. We're not talking about omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, faithfulness, all those things. So I'm at the being of God. Being of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one in essence. They are one in essence. Okay? Let's make human beings one in essence. So that we all have the same format of soul. It doesn't matter, people, where we are in history. Go back to the very beginning of time. Go back, come up to the current civilization. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about the most ignorant of a heathen. Let's just say Africa or somewhere. They have the same desires, hurts, worries, fears, things that we all have. That has never changed. How we dress has changed. How we travel has changed. How we talk changes. All these things. But not the soul. Basically structurally the same for every individual through all of history. Just as the essence of God. It's the same for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the same for each of us. So in that sense, we're in the image of God. We all have the same structured soul. Now, what is the likeness of God? The likeness of God, which is made out of the soul. The soul is made out of nothing. It's there. It's there. And if that gives you any problem, hey, the universe came just boom, God said it, and it was there. He spoke, it's there. Adam, boom, there it is. No material before. Boom, and now we have the universes. Just, there it is. So why does it trouble us with the soul? Just, there it is. Designed, created by God. Now, what about the image? Okay, image, we can get into our mind. We each have the same soul structure, but we all, each of us have an individual personality. That's why we call one the Father, the Son, the Spirit. They're not different. They're not different. They're the same, but they have different personality. So it is with each of us. We each have a different personality. Here's the soul. It's invisible. But out of that soul, God makes, M-A-K-E, makes. He made. Let us make man in our image. Or in our likeness. What does that mean? That's in our personality. God has personality. Each of us have personality. So that now, here's God, invisible but real. Here you are, invisible but real. See, the real us is the soul. Real you is not this body. And some of us are very thankful for that. Some of you love your bodies and we're happy for you. But a lot of us are just happy. This isn't the real us. See? This isn't the real us. The real us is invisible. And that's what's so difficult to get young people, or even older people, but get young people to understand in dealing with love and romance and all these things. The real person is not what you see there. The real person's inside. But it's difficult to deal with that. So we deal with what we can see rather than being wise and realize that the real person's inside. People always ask me often, open casket, all that. I understand that some people need closure and all those things, and I do not intrude on people. Me personally, closed. They're not there. I'm not there. I'm gone. Just, it's not there. It's not who we are. We are as invisible, real. God is invisible, but real. We can have communion with Him, fellowship with Him. And people, let me just remind you while I'm just talking with you, this is why Jesus Christ came. Don't ever forget this. We talk about salvation and all that. He came that we can have fellowship with the Father, with God. That's why He came. And I'm sorry, but a lot of Christians, few Christians really move on beyond the Bible or beyond Jesus and get to God the Father. But He came that we can have fellowship with God. That's why I love 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. 3, we're being transformed to the image of Christ. Chapter 4, we're being transformed to the image of Christ, and Christ is the image of God. So we just go right back to where we started off, being transformed to the image of God. That's where we started, creating the image of God. So now let's see how all of this plays out as far as our study. Now last week we ended with some points of summary. So let's just, let me go through where we left the points up through point 6. We made it through point 6. Let's just quickly go through that and then pick it up at that point. And then we'll go on. Our passage says, Elohim, God, said billions of years ago, let us, members of the Trinity, not angels, we're not created in the image of angels, God, let us make human race in our image, after our pattern. Okay, point 1. The soul of mankind was created by God. The soul, that's the real you, people. The soul was created by God. And the Hebrew word is bara, B-A-R-A, out of nothing. That's not what we have in verse 26. I'm just starting at point 1 here. It is invisible, just as the essence of God is invisible. Point 2. Human essence is, of course, not the same as divine essence, but both are invisible. Both are a unit of one. God created man's essence to be invisible, just as God's essence is invisible, yet intact. 3. We did all this last week. God's essence is invisible but real. Man's essence is invisible but real. Point 4. We have the word image. Make man in our image. The Hebrew word is slim. T-S-E-L-E-M is the transliteration of the Hebrew word. This word emphasizes the invisible essence of mankind. It's translated image. God is the real pattern. Five. While each member of a Godhead has identical essence, each member of the Godhead has identical essence, each is unique. Therefore, we have designations which differentiate each member of the Godhead as the Father, the Son, denoting His personality, Holy Spirit, representing His personality. They each possess exact same essence, co-equal, co-eternal. So while each member of the Godhead was identical essence, each is unique personality, called Father, Son, and Spirit. Point six. While each member of the human race, male, female, any race, have the same essence of soul. You know, this has just been one of the great problems through history. I mean, we all know the history. They came into Africa. Well, these Africans are not human. They're subhuman. And that's the way they were treated in the early days. Many of them were treated in the early days right here. It's a bad part of our history. It's an unfortunate part of our history, but it's history. No need to feel shame or guilt or we owe anybody anything. It's history. It's history. It's false. The people think that there are people in Australia that are not human. They're subhuman. No, they're not. They're human. They have the same structure of soul. And this is why we need to respect each other. We'll come to that later in regard to our life and our being. But point six, while each member of the human race, male, female, any race, have the same essence of soul, they each have a different and unique personality. Now, in Genesis 1:26, we have another word, damuth, D-A-M-U-T-H, damuth, translated likeness. Damuth, to indicate the personality of man. Slim, T-S-E-L-E-M, translated image, is used for the essence of the soul. So we have two words, image and likeness. Image indicates the essence of soul. Likeness indicates the personality that comes out from that essence of soul. It's not that difficult of a deal. We try to make it some mystical thing. It's just, wait a minute, God says we're going to make this creature. Let's see how we can make him. Well, let's make him like us so that we can communicate with him. Let's make him invisible. Let's make him have an essence like ours. Let's make him have the personality like ours so that we can interact. And all of us can interact with God. That's why he did it, people, so that we could interact with him, have relationship with, have intimacy with God. It's unbelievable. And what's unfortunate is few people take advantage of that intimate relationship that we can have with God. It starts with prayer, interacting with him. Just praying all the time. Have a certain time to pray, but just praying through the day. As you drive, as you do this, as you do that, as you work, as you, whatever it'll be. Just interacting with him. He's that close. He's that close. And he made us that way. He did this on purpose. Just as I babble, but just in that, well, how are we going to make this creature? Well, let's see what we want this creature to do. It's kind of like they're sitting there, well, let's make us something that'll run. Well, what do we want it to do? Do we want it to run in the sky? Do we want it to run on water? Or do we want it to run on land? And that's the first thing we have to decide. Okay, we want it to run on water. Okay, that helps us. We don't need this, but we're going to need that. We don't need this, but we're going to need this. So you design a boat. Runs on water. It's different than a plane, different than a car, even though some people drive them like they're planes or cars. But they're different. And you made up your mind what you want. God said, oh, we'll make this creature. We're going to make animal. Let's see how we're going to just talk about all animals, not any specific one. What do we want to them to do? What's going to be there? Well, they're going to be for food. They're going to be for beauty. They're going to be for enjoyment. They're going to be all these people. Okay, then that helps us. That helps us kind of design how we can make animal, what we're going to make them like. We got a purpose. Now we're going to make this creature called mankind. What is it we want here? Is it going to be something just like animals that are going to come and go? No, let's make this one eternal. Everlasting. Not eternal, but everlasting. From the point that it comes, everlasting. Hey, that's a great idea. Let's make us a creature everlasting. That we can have everlasting relationship with. Everlasting enjoyment with. Wow, I like that idea. Now, it's going to be everlasting. What's it going to be like? Well, let's give it an essence like ours. Invisible, but real. And let's give it personality. That we can communicate with. That we can interact with. That we can love and that they can love us. Forever and ever. Wow. And that's in just very simple terms what's happening here. It's not a big deal. It's not something mystical. It doesn't take anything from God, and it doesn't give deity to the human. It just, we're in that likeness so that we can interact with Him. To me, it's just a beautiful story to see what God was doing when He made us. How He made us, why He made us. To have everlasting fellowship with Him. That's just powerful. So this is what we got going on. And now we come to point 7. Technically, image, slim, T-S-E-L-E-M, it's the Hebrew word, transliteration, comes from bara, B-A-R-A, to create out of nothing. Likeness, Damuth, D-A-M-U-T-H, is asa, not abara, but asa, means to make out of something. God created out of nothing our soul, and then He made our personality out of the structure of the soul. Every one of us have personalities. This isn't the time or the place. There is no such thing as a Christian personality, and thank God for that. How boring that would be. That would be so boring if we all had the same personality. There's no such thing as a Christian personality. We all have the same structure, but we all have different personalities. And one of the most beautiful things about it is, if you want to get a feel of what you really like, stay 1 hour in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. Just 1 hour. Just stay 1 hour walking by faith in the Spirit. You kind of get, at the last 15 minutes, you'll get a good idea of what you're like. And your husbands and your wives and your parents, you get your spouse, just help them stay in the Spirit. Don't agitate them to get them out. Just help them stay in the Spirit. See what they're really like. You may really like them. It might be really cool. Because the Holy Spirit brings out the richness of who we are. What our soul is really like. And people, that's who you're going to be with forever and ever. We're going to be forever and ever. We're not going to be with this sin nature and our total depravity. We're going to be this personality God created us with. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Point 8. Putting these two words together is what sets man apart from animals. What gives man capacity to relate and fellowship with God? In the image and likeness of God, means that God can enter into personal fellowship with mankind. And even make covenants with man. You can't make a covenant with your dog. I'll tell you what, here's the deal. I'll feed you, you don't excrete on the floor. How about that for our covenant deal? It's going to work. God can make covenants with us. Interact with us. What is the result of man being made in the image of God and according to the likeness of God is that man can convey with God, relate with God, interact with God, fellowship with God, pray with God, love God, and be loved by God. All those wonderful things. It's just a marvelous thing what he did when he made us in the creation. So we love our dog, but and our dog, you know, loves us, but I guarantee I'm sorry. You're gone 3 days and somebody else is feeding your dog. Your dog's going to love them. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. But in our relationship with God, people have this eternal, everlasting relationship with Him. Because He made us this way. For that interaction, that love. And very few people pursue it. I'm sorry. So this is what separates us from the animal kingdom. And our physical makeup, man is like animal in this world. And that's good. That's very good. That is so good. Why? Because people, in the history of medicine, we learn a lot by studying the animal kingdom. Well, you know, if we do this, we do that. I wonder if we do this with the human body. And we do this, and it just works out beautifully. It's just great. Just we learn and we learn. I was totally put off of sex in 8th grade science. Cut open a frog, teacher says the sex organs look like ours. That did it. Man, I'm through with sex for the rest of my life. That's what they look like. Look like this frog. See? But we learn from them. That was supposed to have just been funny. We learn from them. And this is good. And when we die, it just goes to the ground. Just returns to dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And that's just it. And I love the way God did it. The older we get, see, I'm ready to go home to heaven. But I got things I want to study, things I want to do. I just got married, all these things. But, you know, I'm sorry, when I'm about 93, hey, take me home. Get me out of here. I do not like just lying here. Ready to go home. And just the whole structure and the way that the body works in the animal kingdom has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Nothing to do with what we're dealing with. One thing is certain. Please make this a primary point here. It's not, but it should be. One thing is certain. In the likeness and image of God means that human life is sacred. Sacred. And every assault, murder, on man is an affront to the Creator and merits ultimate penalty. Look at Genesis 9 with me a moment. Genesis 9. Genesis 9, 5 and 6. And surely I will require your life blood, life runs in the blood, from every beast I will require it, and from every man, brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, murder, by man, his blood shall be shed. Why? What's the deal? For in the image of God, he made man. So being created in the image and likeness of God, people, has so many repercussions. And our respect of each other. This is why murder is so detestable. Because it's not only an affront against another human being, it's an affront against God. That human is created in the image and likeness of God. We, in given societies, in our society, and I'm very thankful for it, we have laws and things in dealing with how you treat animals. But ultimately, we're just talking here, the way you treat another human being. And we just, history is filled. From Cain and Abel all the way through. Murder. I mean, society started out with a family member killing a family member, brother killing a brother. Murder. And all the way through history, this has been Satan's objective in countering the plan of God. Murder. It's always an affront on God. So respect of one another, respect of another human being, is part of being created in the image and likeness of God. One more essential point of man being created in the image of God, that comes from Romans 1, where man knows there is God. We studied this in Romans 1. We know there is a God. Why? Because people were created in His image and likeness. To deny God is to deny one's own image, one's own person. Look with me at Romans 1. I'm just realizing as we study this, just how essential Romans 1 through 4 is in this whole study of total depravity, the gospel, grace, faith, and why we have to understand what grace is and what it is and what faith is and what it isn't. If you understand total depravity, you understand there is nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with God. Nothing. That's what total depraved means. God has given us the only hope we have, and that's faith. By grace through faith. And anytime you fool with that faith, you're fooling with total depravity and the right way to God. Look at Romans 1. Let's just read a couple of verses. Start at 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppress the truth of their being of God. Suppress the truth of their being in the image and likeness of God. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. What does that mean? We're created in the image and likeness of God. It's evident within us. I know I'm not an animal. I know when I die it's not over. It's just not over. I know that. Nobody taught me. I know that. Everyone knows that. Natives in Africa who've never been educated, they know that. We just know it. This isn't it. How do we know that? We're created in the image and likeness of God. That's how we know it. Verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident in them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. What has been made? People, I limited it when we studied this to the heavens and the grandeur of the earth and the universe. It's our own selves that we're made in His image and likeness. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood, what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor God. Now what does that mean, did not honor God? Did not honor God as a creator. Did not honor Him. I'm here through you. That is left. So where are we today? We're very wise. We got all the answers of how man got here without God. Take God out of the equation. Now we show you how wise we are. We'll show you how we just evolve. Boom, 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 boom. That's how wise we are. Knew God, did not honor Him, verse 21, as God, or give thanks. Give thanks to Him. Thank you for creating me in your image and your likeness. That I can have eternal life with Jesus Christ. I can have relationship with you day in and day out. I can pray with you. I can love with you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And all these wonderful things. I can share others, you with others. Give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations. What happened? They denied the being of God. They denied they were created in the image and likeness of God. So therefore they start speculating. When you deny the truth, you've got to come up with something. Something. If I'm not here from God, how'd I get here? Well, it started off as a little squeezy thing. Then it just evolved. Well, how did that get here? Well, it was a big bang. Well, how did that get there that caused the big bang? Well, it's just there. And we just start speculating. And the more we ramble, the more foolish we see how foolish we are. Became futile in their speculations, and their few foolish heart was darkened. See, the heart, what's that? That's your soul. That's what's made in the image and likeness of God. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Turmoil of mankind begins with a denial of his origin, a denial of God. You just go through it. I'm from God, and in the likeness of God. Why did God do that? What's it about? How can I know him? I want to know him. I seek him. He sends the gospel, and we have a relationship with him. As to the spiritual warfare, man is created and made in the image and likeness of God. Now, let's talk about what's going on today. Satan rules the earth. But people, we're not children of the earth. Let's just understand this right up front. We are not children of nature. We are not children of the earth. We do not worship the earth. The earth was made by God, put here by God, as far as his whole grandeur, as part of the whole universal creative power of God, ability of God. And then he put this little bitty spot, little sand pebble, and he called that earth, and that's where the angels were placed, that's where we're placed, that's where our whole deal. But we have this whole vast universe to display the greatness of God, but we have this little bitty earth. People, we don't worship it. We do not worship the earth. We're getting ready to start Tuesday night. The only passage in all the Bible that tells the duration of Jesus Christ's reign. One chapter, Revelation 20. Now we know about his reign all the way through the Davidic covenant, the seed of David, the throne of David, all these things. But it's only in one chapter that we're going to start Tuesday night. Boom. That's the only place we're told in 1,000 years. This old earth, I'm sorry, Al Gore, and I'm sorry, all you green people. The earth is going to be here 1,007 years after the rapture. It's got 1,007 years to go before it fizzles out. It's not going to even do that. But we don't worship the earth. We're not of the earth. We're of God. We're not children of nature. God reconstructed the earth for our by, for us to live in, abide in. We're not children of nature. Mother Earth, all this kind of stuff. We're of God, people. Created in the image of God. That doesn't mean you don't want to take care of it. You live in a house, you got to take care of it, clean it up. So we take care of the earth, but not because it's going to run out. Not because we're from it. All this kind of foolishness. We got to put all these things into proper perspective. We are a creation of God, from God, not nature. The more man denies his origin as God, the more he does what? The more he praises nature. The more he worships nature. If I'm not from God, I'm from the earth, and then I'll praise the earth. All hail the earth. Praise it. Worship it. Take God out. Got no other choice. Foolishness of man. Foolishness of man to worship the earth. Now, we do not worship nature. We do not worship the earth. We are of God. We worship him. That's why Romans 1, deny him, then you don't have to worship him. Deny him and you're stuck with the earth then. Okay, let's go back now. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Any questions? Please don't be afraid. I'm not communicating. I need to know. Okay. 126. Then God, Elohim, three members of the Godhead, said, decreed. We don't know when, billions of years ago, they would just use that to throw out a number. Let us, all three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, make Asa out of something. Out of the soul of man. Let us make man. That's Adam. Adam here does not refer to Adam, the first member of the human race, but Adam, mankind. To Adam. So, in, preposition in, after the pattern of our Godhead image. So let's see where we are. Then God Elohim decreed, let us, members of the Godhead, make out of something man, the soul of man, in, how are we going to make it? In, after the pattern of our Godhead image. Slim, T-S-L-E-M. Same essence, invisible, yet real. The structure of our soul. According to, to the next preposition, our Godhead likeness, damuth, personality of God. And then we have a pair of fairies that we're not going to deal with here, and let him rule over the fish and the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, except your dog. All right, now, verse 27. Let's go to verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, and introduces the doing of verse 26. See that word introduction, and? That's the doing of, introducing the doing of verse 26. God, we have Elohim again. We have Elohim again. Now we have a new word. It says created. See the word create? That's a word transliterated from the Hebrew bara, B-A-R-A, bara. It's not in verse 26, but it's in verse 27. Okay, throughout the Bible, only God is the subject of the verb bara. When it's used, it's not used that often, but it's when it's used, only God is a subject. There are times when it means to bring something into existence out of something. It also means to bring into existence out of nothing. Sometimes it's just to create out of nothing, so as to bring into existence out of nothing. Context determines. It is used of his creating. Let me give you examples. Heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1. Look at Genesis 1:1 a moment. Genesis 1:1. God created. Okay, this, very quickly, Genesis 1:1 is the original creation of the universe. All universes. All God, there was nothing there. God spoke, and that came into being. Unbelievable. Just magnificent. That's bara. Original creation out of nothing. Humanity. Genesis 1:27. The soul of man, bara, out of nothing. Now, let's look at Isaiah 40. For the next one. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high. That means up toward the sky. And see who has created these, the stars, the lights in the sky. It deals with the creation out of nothing of the heavenly beings. The one who leads forth their hosts by number, he calls them all by name. People, there are just trillions. You know, we're talking in our society today, our debts are a trillion and all that. I can't even think a trillion. Just, you know, I got $10 here, I can think that. But a trillion. Got just trillions of stars, and he can name every one of them. The vastness of God is unbelievable. Sometimes I don't know if we just really comprehend. We live in a concrete world. And we don't really comprehend the greatness of God. We can't really even see the sky in Dallas. Got too many human lights blushing it out. But you go way out in the country and you look up and wow. When I was in Africa, probably the darkest that I've ever been was in Zambia, Africa. And had to get up in the middle of the night and went out. And I mean, there was no human light. There's just, it does not exist at night. There's no fires. There's nothing. And you just look up and I mean, wow, it is breathtaking. I've seen it in America and Colorado and a couple of places, but nothing like in Africa. You've been there. I mean, it's just, because it's just no human light whatsoever. And you just, and he names every one of them. Every one of them. That's an awesome thought. And he cares about me. He cares about you. He cares about our daily sickness. He cares about our hurts. He cares about our stress, our anxiety, our depression, our joys, our wants. He cares about us. This is how awesome God is. We lose it sometimes, the awesomeness of God living in a city. We don't really see it. The grass we planted there and the tree we planted there. But you get out where it's just God. It's just awesome. Lift up your eyes on high. Take a look at these created stars, these created things, beings in the sky. The one who leads forth their hosts by number, he calls them by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. People, that's these inanimate things not created in his image or likeness. How much more do you think he cares about us? I know sometime in your life it looks like he doesn't. I know sometime in your life it looks like he doesn't care. People, just when you get that way, drive 60 miles out in the country and just look at the stars. He cares about them. Not one's missing. You're not missing. He's got a plan. Gave you the Spirit. Gave you these wonderful things. Yeah, so we have the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Humanity, Genesis 1:27. The heavenly host, Genesis 40:26. Now look at verse 28 in the same chapter of Isaiah 40. The expanse of the earth. Look at Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has somebody not told you? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, Bara, of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. But let's just look at what we're dealing with here. Do you not know? This goes back to Romans 1. Do we not know these things? Instinctively? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. That means the expanse of this whole earth. It's round. It's not square. End refers to the whole being of the earth. The whole structure of the north and south. The expanse that way. Psalm 89. Let's look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89:12. The north and the south Now, I'm sorry, this doesn't refer to the Yankees and the Confederates. I'm sorry. Just, you can forget all of that. All right. The North and the South, thou hast created them. Tabor, Hermon, shout for joy at thy name. Because he created them. So he's the creator of all these things out of nothing. And he created us in his likeness, in his image and likeness. We can have fellowship with him. We can have a relationship with him. And what we need to do, get into total depravity now. How can this perfect thing that we're created in the being of God, what happened that caused the change? What happened? Boy, we're just in his image and fellowship forever and all this type of stuff. And now it's all messed up. What happened? Well, help you out. Do you have any trouble reading Genesis 1-2? Look at 1-2. The earth became void, desolate, empty, covered in darkness. You have any trouble? No, because it's not me. But let's just look at it. The earth became that. It wasn't created that way in 1-1. What happened? If we're created in the image and likeness of God, what happened? And we came under total depravity. And what does that mean? How can I get out of that? So this is where we have to go in our studies. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, excuse me. Please. Yes? Yes. Yeah, we can do that. Yes. Yeah, we can do that. There is a difference. Yes. In fact, that's why I said that he will require the life. If you take a life, your life will be, the blood will be required by man to take your life. That's what that verse is saying. Yes. If you murder someone, God will require society to take your life. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer and we'll resume it. Next Sunday morning, Tuesday night, we'll have where we got the millennial reign of Christ, why it's 1,000 years, how we know that. And then Wednesday night, Job. So we got a full week this week. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, what can we say, Father? We're so small, so finite, when we look at the vastness, even of your creation. Not just you, just look at your creation. Well, we just come down to a speckle. Hardly even that. But you love us. You love us. You didn't say that about the universe. You didn't say that about the galaxies. You didn't say that about the trillions of stars. You said you loved us. Wow. Father, we praise you for the God you are. We praise you that you have a plan, and we seek to be in that plan every day by walking in the power of your Spirit by faith, knowing how important our relationships are with each other, with our husbands, our wives, friends, children, family, people at church, spiritually, how important every day is, that we can enjoy it, have fun in it, have a relationship with you, fellowship with you. What an awesome God you are, that you created us in your image, created us in your likeness. As we continue to learn these things and what they mean, that we will enrich them in our own being, enrich our soul, enrich our personality, the understanding and the knowing of you. Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen this morning, your text, that it's settled deep into our souls and the foundation of our souls, and then have results in our lives, in our marriages, our relationships, in our relationship with you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.